And it was supposed to be at noon, and I apologize. Nobody was on there. I don't think my stream went live. So let's get over to it. Here's basically what I want to tell you guys or explain to you is what's going on in today's market. So you're going to see Wall Street, and you're going to see everybody saying, YouTubers alone, the banking system's crashing. Here's what's going on. You know, they're going to probably blame housing or blame something, and you know, the banks are crashing. So what I want to put in context is what is really happening in today's market. You're going to see, look at the MBS market as you're seeing on my screen. So remember, guys, the MBS market, what you're seeing, UMBS 5.0, that's actually what's going on with mortgage rates. So that is the price of the bond. So there's an inverse relationship. When this number goes down, rates are going up. Right now we're seeing, let me see if I can click into this for just a 1 day chart. You can see here, was that the one that clicked? Nope, I'll go over to this one. I got multiple charts up. So here's what's going on. The market actually spiked up huge this morning, and then now we're starting to teeter back down. So let's get over to some of the news that's in effect right now, and let's put some context into this. So the markets, so last Friday what happened is Sun Valley Bank, Olato Fay Rhymes at AMC. So thanks for guys for joining me. So what happened last Friday was a bank in California actually went out of, or the FDIC shut them down. What happened? Okay, so there was a run on the bank. What does a run on the bank mean? And what other things took place? So here's what happened is banks were required by part of the Dodd-Frank bill is to add more reserves to their already the money that they have in the background. So what they did is they started accumulating treasury bills to accommodate their reserve requirements. Okay, so you buy treasuries and you accumulate them. The reason being is it's an asset that you're going to gain some interest on, but it's really secure in most cases. So they would buy these bonds, and that would be their solvency in regards to meeting that guideline. So what happened was is mortgage or any assets that the banks hold does not require what they call mark to market. Okay, meaning the value that you hold on your books is basically the value that you purchase that asset at. Okay, so let's say you bought the asset for $100. And now that because of what's going on in the market, the Federal Reserve keeps raising rates and raising rates and raising rates. Again, when we went to this chart here, you can see where the rates were going up and the prices of these bonds are coming down. All right. So that's basically the prices are coming down. So therefore, if any bank went in right now and did a mark to market based, you know, change that asset value to what it currently is today, those companies would probably be 30-40% less in assets than they expect they are. Okay. So I hope that's probably kind of confusing, but let's say, for example, I buy a $1 million bond and I set it in my retirement and say, I'm set for life. And then as time goes on, I keep checking the value of that bond and the bond price keeps going down. So if I ever hit a point where I have to sell that bond to make my ends meet, pay my bills, I got to sell the bond. It's going to be a huge loss. So I don't really have $1 million in the bank. Its coupon is that, but its value is not that. That's one of the things that was taking place in this situation. Another thing that took place in this situation was they took a lot of risky investments. So how do we know that? Well, when you dig into the details, most of their depositors are higher end clients, but they're really speculative. So they get into startup companies and venture capital companies. Here's another piece that basically should tell you that these people have a lot of money, but they're speculative, because most banks will insure your monies up to $250,000. That's the FDIC insurance. Most banks have 80% of their depositors are insured with that $250,000. Sun Valley Bank has 40%, or half the normal piece of their portfolio is uninsured. So that also says, okay, that's much riskier. So the if you watch my video from this morning, some of you guys might not have, and that's why I'm doing this post, is there's another bank right now that's starting to have some issues. And that bank is Signature Bank in New York, and they've been shut down as well. But the funny part of this is, and I'm not going to say it's funny, is the regulation that put a lot of this stuff into effect was part of the Dodd-Frank bill. Well, it's funny because Dodd-Frank sits on the board of whom? Barney Frank, there he is, of the Dodd-Frank bill. He sits on the board of what bank? Signature Bank. And that is the same Signature Bank that pops up right here on your screen. So the one congressman who created a lot of these backdrops for the housing or the markets, are now on these boards of banks that are going out of business. So they created the backdrop for the whole country to live by, but now they sit on a board of a bank, one bank, and it goes defunct because of regulation and so forth. So let's say if you guys would put in your feedback, let me know the questions that you have, add to this detail, because I want my audience to be informed what in the world's going on. So I got Hola from Faye. I'm just going to go Faye. Let's pull this up and let's see what he has to say. So if you guys want, do the VCs in the bank also short the stock market? They can. And a lot of the regulations are, you know, so here's another backdrop. And I'll answer this question. The banks were flushed with money over the last few years. Think about it. You put your money in the bank. They're getting huge assets. People were also buying stocks and bonds and everything else through their bank or their other entities. But what were the dividend rates that banks were paying you on your checking and savings account? And I made fun of this for the last several years. 0.0001, okay, that's what they're paying. Now, if you look at a lot of banks' savings accounts and their checking rates and everything else, they really haven't moved their rates up much at all. But you can buy a treasury bill. And let me pull up the 10-year treasuries, and I can probably do this on here through here. So let's say, for example, you can actually get a two-year. Oh, this is the Japanese. Bear with me. Where is the two-year note? Maybe it's down through here. Well, the two-year treasury yield right now is, I might be able to get over here. I don't know if I can find it. Well, it's about 4.something%. So what a lot of people are doing right now, they're moving their money from their bank account, savings account or whatever. They're putting them in the CDs or longer treasuries or things like that. And they're pulling out of the banks. So now the banks are like, man, we're seeing a lot of money moving out of our systems. Well, you need to increase your rate of return so you can have your depositors keep the money there. I have monies in one account that I was sitting there for specific reasons that was basically not paying me anything. And it was six figures. And now I can move it. Am I going to stick it in the bank or keep it in my bank savings account? Absolutely not. Because I'm getting still no returns when I can buy a two-year treasury. I can even buy a 12-month CD in many cases at like 4% interest rates. So people are starting to move their monies out of the banks. Another thing that happened in this scenario was Twitter. And I'm not blaming Twitter, but some big institutional holders that had their money in Sun Valley or Silicon Valley Bank tweeted that we're going to take our money out of the bank because it doesn't seem solvent at this time, thinking they're advising their clients, but not thinking that everybody that had an account at that bank is going to say, well, if you're moving your money, well, I'm sure as heck going to move my money. So that's what's called a run on the bank. They would run to the bank as quick as they could and pull all their money out. Okay, so that's what's happening a lot in regards to some of these things. So I'd love to answer any of your questions. Initially, what happened is the stock market plummeted. It was down 300-500 points out of the get-go. It's recovered a lot since then. But what you're seeing on your screen, like I said, is what's going on with the mortgage-backed securities. You're going to see those in these two areas right here. And they're down 84 and 89. So the 30-year UMBS 5.0 and the UMBS 5.5, these are different coupons, but their differences are about the same. You can see through here, but they're up 84 bips and 92 bips. That's probably the fifth time ever in my 34-year history of doing this that I've seen these adjust almost 100 basis points. So let me see if anybody else has any information. Let's see. I'm going to post your things on here until we get more and more people asking some questions. Three banks in a week, two crypto related. In this all coming as a fruitation because of the FTC fallout. Now, so basically here's what's happened. The FTX fallout is kind of, I won't say it's a recent occurrence, but for example, the cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, for example, it was $60,000 a coin back, a year ago. Bitcoin right now is trading about 20,000 to 21,000. So it's down huge. So that's one part of that. So yes, it can be part of the evaluations of that. And a lot of people with Bitcoin, their valuations are so far down now. If they need, if they needed $1 million in Bitcoin to pull out a year ago, it was $60,000 a coin. Today it's 20,000. So it would take a lot more crypto to pull out your monies. So basically what I was saying is the cryptocurrency started depleting about a year, year and a half ago. The odd thing there is, remember when we were sold on cryptocurrency as it being the our inflation hedge? So my son talked me, told me about the Bitcoin years ago, and I didn't do it because I don't really see, I never saw value in it. Then yes, I got pumped into the FOMO and I saw it, made a bunch of money on it. Then I lost that money. I end up trading a whole year and a half and I made about $3,000. So I'm not telling you guys to do it. I'm not a financial planner. I'm not giving you that advice. I'm just giving you my information to treat this as educational purposes. So let's go to the next question we have up here is might be unrelated, but is this causing this morning's drop in mortgage rates? How does this impact the Fed's stance with their next rate hikes? This is right in the wheelhouse that we wanted to talk about. Okay, so let's go over to and answer those questions. So yes, it is the culprit of what's happening to mortgage rates. So what you're seeing on your screen, again, I'll do another introduction of what you're seeing on your screen. So you're seeing on your screen right now what's happening with the MBS market. The MBS market is basically a bond that trades on Wall Street that's yield is in fact the biggest piece of your mortgage rate. So don't pay attention to the 2-year treasuries, the 10-year treasuries and anything like that. They usually kind of stay in line, kind of sort of, but you can see on the screen right here, look at the 10-year treasury. It's down 0.20. Look at the MBS market, it's down 0.8984, depending on which one you want to see. So there is a disconnect. There is, usually bonds trade in tandem, kind of, but not to the point where a lot of people, think that the treasury bill, the treasury market is what you monitor to check out and see what's going on with mortgage rates. It is not. It's the MBS market, and that's what you really want to follow. The other piece of that market was, does this impact the Fed stance on what's going on? So yes. So here's what happened. Let's go, for example, over to this chart right in here. Right. So this is a treasury. Let me see if I can just pull up that screen a little bit more in detail for you. No, that's probably the best view that we have. So here's what's going on with the price of a treasury. Okay. So here's what I was talking about mark to market when we first started this. What's causing this, what's causing a lot of confusion right now is banks have to hold reserve money. Okay, depending on how much they lend out, they have to have a specific amount in reserves to cover those things. So the banks, part of the Dodd-Frank bill, were required to do this in excess of how much money they used to have to hold in there. So part of the Dodd-Frank bill says you have to hold assets. So a lot of those banks, because they're part of the Federal Reserve and that boys club, I guess I'll say it that way, they start buying treasuries. Treasuries give you a yield, not huge yields, but better than savings accounts were giving, and the banks don't do in savings accounts. And so they bought treasuries, and they bought them and bought them and bought them and held them. So because they were stable. Okay, so let's look at this chart right through here. Okay, so let's say they bought the treasuries. Let's just go back 1 year from now or 1 year ago. All right, so that doesn't show it as robust as it actually is. Okay, this is probably the best way. Let's just say they bought it, this isn't all that far back. March 8th, so just going back further than that. They bought this asset back in here. Okay, let's say the price of that was $100. So now that same thing is worth $80. Okay, I'm just making up those numbers, but this is the price. You can see how it's just completely plummeting. All right. And that's basically what I'm saying is the price of these bonds are plummeting, jacking up the yields. So if the bank bought, $1 million worth of bonds or $1 billion worth of bonds at some point at a certain price, since those, the prices have been dramatically going down, pushing up yields. Okay. So if they actually had to reprice those today, they wouldn't have enough in reserves. Okay. Probably most banks. The bigger banks are more than amply covered. So this isn't going to be a systemic, risk to all banking. This is actually going to help the bigger banks I got a problem with, there's 3 to 5 banks in the whole country that basically run the whole country. They're huge. It's going to drive more people out of the smaller banks into the bigger banks. So you're going to see people even on Wall Street saying, you should move your money into the big banks. There's reasons for all this, guys. And that's why I try to come out to you guys just to give you the skinny behind the scenes. I have no really skin in the game. I just want you guys to be educated on, all this stuff. So please ask any questions that you have. But that is basically what happened. We had a we had a bank fail because they didn't have enough in reserves and they did too much risky lending because they lend out to a lot of venture capitals and startups. So between that, cryptocurrencies dropping. So all this adds up to the collapse in this market. So we had this one bank, and specifically, you know, the reason why Silicon Valley Bank basically collapsed is they had a run on the bank. They had some big institutional investors tweeting out saying they're going to go pull their money, and then everybody and their mother lined up to pull out their money in that. So that is a related story. So thank you for bringing that up. That's the main reason why I'm doing today's video, is so you guys know actually what's going on. So a lot of there's other banks that are going to be put in this position. You know, another bank, the Signature Bank, they were hugely invested in cryptocurrencies. So, you know, the Silicon Valley Bank was Silicon Valley. They worked in venture capitals and startups. Signature Bank was more in the crypto side of things. And again, for those that are new to this, Signature Bank, it looks like their doors just got shut down. And anybody that's been watching the market for the last 10, 20 years, you know who Barney Frank is. He's the author of the Frank Dodd bill. He sits on the board of this bank. And I find it really ironic, I guess, is you have the one legislator who played a huge role in putting a lot of this stuff together during the financial crash of 2008. Now, his bank, the bank that he sits on the board of, just got shut down. So, makes you want to think. So let's go to some other things. The stock market is doing, it's recovering some. I think what's happening with a lot of things is people are throwing out all the banks with the dirty bathwater of just a couple of them. Will banks be put under pressure? Yes. I think they're more than adequately funded. And as long as they hold on, they don't have a run on the bank. They don't have to sell any assets that would, you know, a run on any bank would cause big problems with any bank. So again, let me recap it again, because we keep having people come in and out. The cause of this is multiples. Okay, one, Silicon Valley Bank over leveraged with venture capital money and startups. Okay, that was one. Two, the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates doesn't really, they can't understand this. They got to understand it because they're in control. They don't understand what's happening to the bond values. Okay. So when you raise rates, that means you're dropping the price of a bond, dropping the prices. That's what increases the rates. So the price of the asset goes down and the yields or the rates go up. We've saw, you know, in the last year and a half now, or actually year right now, Federal Reserve has raised rates more and higher than any other that we've ever seen in the last 20, 30 years, 40 years maybe. Okay. So by doing that, they're pushing down the values of bonds, okay, treasury bonds. Well, a lot of banks are holding these as an asset to make sure they're solvent based on the Dodd-Frank bill. So they buy this treasury, you know, for $1 million worth of treasuries, but the values keep dropping. So those treasuries now might be worth 600,000 instead of a million. Well, now they're going to have margin calls. So now they have to free up money to make themselves solvent. Well, the problem there is when they're found out that, you know, they're having some financial issues, somebody tweets out and says, hey, they're having financial issues, I'm going to jump in and pull my money out. Now they have a run on the bank, so they don't have enough assets there. Okay, so they lost their depositors. Their treasury bonds are dropped. Now they're basically insolvent, and the FDIC comes in and stops them or halts them or closes them. So then what happens is, well, if you're like me and most people, you're insured because most banks will insure you up to $250,000. Anything over and above that, they're not insuring in most cases. So, you know, if you have, you're wealthy, put your money in multiple places, you'll be okay. Okay. But what happened in this case is 80% of their accounts were not insured. So that means there was a lot of money there, or they were just in accounts that weren't insured. So most of the people are going to get their money back. The last time this happened, there was about 400 bank closures in 2008 to 10, 400, and now we have two or three. So what I also want to explain to you guys is this isn't going to be a systemic where the banking system really starts to fail and crumble and the Fed has to step in and fund the banks and all this. It's an isolated situation. Please, what I ask you is don't run on the banks. There's not a banking issue. But some people will tell you this, but do they really do their research? Well, one person that I really would think that would do their research is a guy by the name of Jim Cramer. Let me see if I still have his stuff up. So back not too long ago, and I'll say back maybe 2-3 weeks ago, Jim Cramer came out and said SVB Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, is okay. There's nothing to do. I actually recommend buying it per him on February 8th. Okay. Today it's gone. So that's one call that he made, and he's the poster child of CNBC. I don't know why I've followed him for years, and I can honestly say I lost money with his recommendations. The other thing is back when, in 2008, he recommended Bear Stearns. Now, Bear Stearns was an investment company back on Wall Street. And the day after, I actually remember watching this episode. He was telling people, do not pull out your money right there. Do not take out your money. They're fine. They're good. They're fine. They're good. Next day, they shut down. They're gone. We're zero. So two of his recommendations basically went to zero. I don't know if I'd really follow him, but this is just how I'm telling you how Wall Street analysts, the news, mainstream media, they're going to feed you the hype that they want you to hear. I'm just giving you the true feedback. The banking system is okay. It is solvent. What the Federal Reserve has to do is they have to slow things down. They can't keep increasing rates, driving down the prices of these bonds, because at some point these bonds aren't going to be worth anything. And then all banks are going to be insolvent. Then what are they going to do? Okay. So then they have to start doing some other things. Also, what banks have been doing over the past year or two or three is money's been cheap. You and I know it. We get this money. We put it in our bank account, we get zero interest. So we have to leverage that money and put it in the stock market. That's the only way to get your returns. So there's a lot of things, really going on right now. Hold on. I was going on. Let me see if there's any other questions out here that I can answer for you. I just locked in here. Let's see this. I just locked my rate in at 6.4. Do you think it would be lower for mortgages? I don't know. If you're with us and you're concerned, just give us a call. Here's where a lot of this plays into a good point too, is when you're getting a mortgage, I'm a mortgage advisor, and you guys should know that by now. Here's why I elect to work. I work at a bank, but we're a federally chartered bank. But now we are also one of the country's largest brokers. We broker out probably 99% of our business. If you locked in at your credit union or a bank, you're basically stuck. Okay, so rates should probably drop today by a quarter, maybe 3/8. But if you locked in at a bank or credit union or something like that, you're probably stuck. And the reason why is my analogy that I use a lot of times is it's like a stock. You're watching a stock, and you're watching it go up and down and up and down and so forth. That, in essence, on the mortgage side of the equation, would be your rate is being floated. It's floating around until you or I decide, man, it's a good time to buy this thing. So what happens is when you lock in your rate with a bank or a credit union, you bought the stock. I mean, you bought it. You can't go back the next day and say, hey, I don't want this stock anymore. I paid $100 a share for it. Now it's worth 50. I want my money back, and then I'll buy it back. It doesn't work that way. However, if you're working with a mortgage broker, what we do is we say, okay, here's your rate right now. We can scan our system again. And this is one of the free services we offer you guys as well. We're going to scan the whole country. We're set up with about a little over 90 banks and mortgage companies right now. Think of them as our partner in this. So I have mortgage products of my own at the bank. And then I can also use all of these companies' programs and rates. And you can see we're going to start putting this out there more. Pat, can you shut that, please? Pat, can you shut that door, please? Thanks. So what we do is we can now take your loan. You're locked in, but say, we'll call the lender that we're, or the bank that we're locked in at. and we'll say, hey, we need to renegotiate this, the rate. If they say, no, you can't do it, then we'll say, okay, we'll just withdraw the loan and we're going to send it off to another company. Okay, so that's how the benefits of working with a mortgage broker like ourselves. We do all the shopping for you, but I'm not here to talk about mortgages right now, but we do all the shopping for you guys. We're set up with 80, 90 different companies. Call us. Give us the scenario. We'll show you the live feed. You know, we're set up with Rocket Mortgage and Carrington and Freedom and all these companies, but we're set up on their wholesale side, meaning we get much better rates on our side than if you were to call on your own and go to their retail section. So that's a video for another day, but let's get to some more questions out there. I trade. You should have reached out to me about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. He's just bad. And I don't even know why they still have him on the channel, because he's just, a lot of his recommendations are really bad, to be honest with you. But in this case, you know, if you did lock in and you locked in with us, please call your mortgage advisor. If you're locked in at a bank or a credit union or something like that, we do have a service where we will review that with you. I'll put that link on down below. Once this video does publish, I'll put the link down below, or you can go to my website, and check out, just look at LE comparison, or it'll say LE. Let me go to my website. We just updated this the other day, so bear with me. It should be on here, right here, loan estimate. So if you're out there and you have your loan is locked in, all you have to do is go over here and click the loan estimate. Give us a little information about yourself. Put your loan estimate in there. We'll scan the whole system, the whole country, to let you know what other options you have out there. What else is it? Let's go back to CNBC and see if there's anything there that we need to see. The market's down. Oh, that's the bond market. Let's go back to the U.S. market. Now the Dow Jones is up 125. So, guys, let's see, what the Dow falls more than 150 points, pressured from the bank's shares mounting. See if there's anything else we want to go over. If you got any questions, please leave them. I'd love to answer those things. Investors rush into bonds, gold. Okay, flight to safety. Let's talk a little bit about flight to safety, because what I want you guys to understand, I want you to know the terminology that we use or Wall Street uses. So when somebody's talking to you or you're watching something, you get it, okay? What the flight to safety is this. We're concerned, or people are concerned right now, that we're going to go into a recession. What a recession normally means is company profits are going to start dwindling. Why? Because people are going to buy less stuff. Okay, so if you're going to buy less stuff, and the companies know it, 80% of CEOs last November polled said in 2023 we'll be in a recession. So let's look at it this way: we have 80% of the people running the country saying we're going to be in a recession. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to start holding back on new hires. They're going to start holding back on buying supplies and things like that, because they know they're going to experience a softer market. Okay. So what happens is when you're thinking the stock market's going to crash, you think inflation's out of control, you just think there's uncertainty there. What most people do is they're going to pull out their money and buy something like we talked about, the treasuries. Usually treasuries are a very stable, I'll say stable, they're not real profitable in most cases, but they're a stable investment. So people buy treasuries, just like the banks did when we talked about the banks, buying treasuries to hold as an asset for their solvency. So what people are doing right now, they're saying, you know, I don't know what's going to go on in the stock market. You know, car sales are down. This is down. That's down. This is crazy. Banks are crashing now. What am I going to do? I'm just going to pull all my money out and just stick it somewhere. Well, you can't just stick it in the bank. Well, you couldn't in the past because your rates were 0.00005. So you're going to take that and you're going to buy treasuries that have a good yield right now. Like I said, a 2-year right now is in the fours. You know, think of a 4% return. You haven't seen that on a CD or savings account in decades. They're going to do that, and they're going to buy gold. Well, another part of that was, remember, we were told for the last 3, 4, 5 years that Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies are also a hedge against inflation. I'd be interested in seeing what the price of Bitcoin is doing right now. I'm not promoting Bitcoin. I'm not, you know, anything of that sort. I just want to educate you guys on what's going on. Let me see if I can find the price of Bitcoin right now. Look at that. It's up 8% today. So maybe it is. But I'm not going to say this is a good hedge against inflation, because if you go back and look over a time frame here, when did inflation hit? Well, in 2021, 2022. Okay, inflation. So you think if this was a good hedge against inflation, when inflation really started peaking its head and went to 9%, this thing would just keep going up and up and up and up and up and up and up, but it didn't. It basically crashed. It went from, what are we talking about, 64,000 to 20,000 over the, I think over the weekend we hit maybe 20,000. Now we're at 24,000. It is hugely speculative. If you want to test this market, you're on your own. But I just want to give you some guidance. When you start hearing, you know, flee to safety, you know, that's one of the areas that they're talking about. Let me see if there's any other highlight headlines in here that you guys might just want to get a little familiar with. U.S. government steps in, says depositors with funds that will be able to access their money. Well, they don't give you the whole story. They'll be able to access their money today. If you're insured, 80% of those people are not insured. So then the FDI is going to step in and do that. So that might take a little bit of a while to subside. It says U.S. did the right thing protecting us with depositors. No one else. Not everyone agrees. One caption in here, and I know I probably ticked off a lot of people today, was a comment that I made about, let me see right here. Let's see. Maybe I dropped it. President Biden came out and said, you know, the taxpayer isn't going to put money toward this to make this bank solvent again, because, you know, they took the risk, they lost, and that's capitalism. Well, they don't do that in all industries. Okay. They just pumped in what was $80 billion in the CHIPS Act. And part of the CHIPS Act, if you really did your studies on that, we're expected, we have, US has 10% of the chip industry. We have a 10% share of the chip industry. After the $80 billion CHIPS Act, it's supposed to go all the way up to 11%. So, you know, you got to watch these areas that you look into. And I know I'm not being political here. I just want to give you the information out there that's here. And if you guys want to ask any questions, feel free to. Let's go down through here and see if there's anything else that you might be interested in that might help us. Biden administration urges Congress to ban airlines from charging families to sit together. I think they got other things to worry about. That should do it for today. The other scary piece right here is the ChatGPT. I don't know if you guys ever checked out that. It is phenomenal, to say the least. So if you guys don't have anything, any questions, I just wanted to get out there and tell you guys what is going on with banking systems. I always try to explain the whys behind everything, because I want you guys to understand, you know, why is this going on? Here, let me get out of this and see if I can just go back to normal. Bear with me one second. I want to stop sharing my screen. And there we are. So my name is Dan Frio. I do this every day. If you'd like to find out more about this, I changed my channel. My channel is The Rate Update, where I talked about mortgage rates day after day after day. I'm kind of subsiding from that because you guys don't need to know about interest rates on mortgages tick by tick by tick. So I'm going to start doing videos every day talking about the markets in general. I'm going to talk about housing, cryptocurrency, stock market, bond yields, what's going on in the market, the headline news that's out there, and then give you the real perspective behind the scene with no agenda attached. I have no paid advertisers, so I'm not controlled by anybody. I just want to make sure you guys are getting the information you need to know to make prudent decisions when it comes to stocks, cryptocurrencies, buying your house, or anything else. So check out my channel if you would. Please give it a thumbs up. Subscribe if you like. And we do this video, a video like this. We have a live event every Wednesday evening that all we talk about are mortgages. And I talk to first-time home buyers. Usually there's 200-300 people live each session. And we do that to answer any of the questions that you guys have if you're looking to buy your first house. We're also going to start adding new live events such as this, where we can talk to realtors out there. We can talk to investors out there. We can talk cryptocurrencies. We're going to have multiple pod live casts for you guys to answer or ask any questions that you have. And we'll give you our feedback on that and our education that we have, and at least give you maybe some guidance on where we think things might be taking place. So thanks for watching, guys. God bless. And I appreciate your time during the middle of the day to watch. See you soon. Bye-bye.